Right. Hello. You just get to where I need to be. All right. My name is not John Walker, but it's close. My name is Jesse Walker, and I will do my best today to do better than just blah, 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 so you can understand more of what I'm trying to say. And I thought about memorizing my entire sermon, but I knew that would be uncomfortable for you guys because you're used to people reading sermons, so I figured I'd just read it just for your comfort. So I'll be doing that today. I've dedicated a lot of my life, the past 6 years especially, to playing volleyball and coaching volleyball. And I've learned a lot through reading, through having conversations, through listening to podcasts, all different kinds of things. My favorite part about coaching is not the volleyball. I do love volleyball, but my favorite part about coaching is the opportunity to help people learn and grow as people through volleyball. I think that's such a special thing. I've developed so much of myself through playing sports, and it's an honor and a privilege to get a chance to do that for other people all over the country. And I've really enjoyed getting to do that. So I'm happy to share some of this stuff with you guys too. Like my dad said, we have a lot of conversations about these things that I've been learning and things he's been learning, and then we talk about how they apply to the other, how to each other. So like how my volleyball stuff applies to the kingdom and helping the church, and how his stuff with the church can apply to me helping my teams and my players. So not everybody gets a chance to do that, though. Not everybody gets a chance to be part of a sports team or have that experience. So I'm excited to share some of these things with you that you might not have had a chance to experience or learn through sports. So here are three ideas that I'm really passionate about when it comes to coaching. One of them is choosing positive self-talk. Number two is having a growth mindset. And number three is investing in procedural learning. And I'll describe these as we go through. I believe these three things can benefit anyone in life as they apply to sports. But I also believe that each one of these things has connection with scripture that can help us do life better as Christians and as people. So I'm going to go through this and share some with you and connect it with scripture, and hopefully we learn some stuff together today. All right, so the first one is self-talk. And self-talk is something that we do naturally throughout each day, whether we realize it or not. It's just things you say to yourself about yourself. And it's very noticeable in sports, because a lot of times when you're playing, if you make a mistake, you might say something bad to yourself, or if you do something well, you might say something good to yourself. But this is something we do throughout life that I've become more aware of through coaching and through playing. And I think it makes a big impact in our life and how we view ourselves and view others. So some examples of this, some negative examples are you're worthless, or why are you so bad at life, which embarrassingly are two things I've said to myself while playing volleyball after making mistakes. Some positive things are you've earned this, or you can do this, you've trained for this, you're ready for this. And less embarrassingly, those are also things I've said to myself in volleyball. But again, I've been trying to create better self-talk for myself and help my players do that as well. And it's something I've gone through an exercise with my players where I have them write down things they say to themselves and then ask them if they would say these things to their teammates. And a lot of times it's definitely not, but we're okay saying these things to ourselves. So with athletes, self-talk is very important because it's the precursor to confidence. What you tell yourself about yourself gives you confidence or not, and that's very important for our performance as athletes. With people, self-talk is also very important because I think it shapes what we think about ourselves and how we see ourselves in relation to God and to others. So I think it's important to have a healthy and balanced and positive view of ourselves and be able to live life in that way. It does seem that negative self-talk is more prevalent than positive self-talk. So I think it's good for us to be aware of that and try to create a better create better self-talk within ourselves, and make sure that we understand how God created us and how we should see ourselves. So luckily for us, God has shared some of these things in Scripture, so we get a chance to see how he views us and how he made us. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them." So the fact that we are created in God's image, it said twice in a row. It says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created man," or he created them. It must be pretty important since it was repeated back to back. And I don't think that Moses was just trying to use extra words like to get to a word count, like as we do in papers sometimes in school. So I do think this is pretty important since he repeated it. And what I think is special about this verse compared to the previous verses talking about creation is that we aren't just another thing on the list that God created. We were created to be like him, and that's pretty unique and special. Also, we aren't just made. He doesn't just talk about us being made as people, but being wonderfully made. In Psalm 139:14, it says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And God doesn't just view us as a wonderfully made object like a star or an animal, but as his children. In 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Since I don't have children, I can't completely speak to the way that parents value their children, but as a child, I can certainly say that I feel valued by my parents in a special and unique way. And even if I'm feeling less valuable in a moment, if I think about my parents and how they view me and how they love me, that gives me value, that makes me feel valuable. And how much more should we feel that way from God, who actually designed us and created us intentionally? So another example of our worth is that God has given us the opportunity and responsibility of sharing his truth with others, which is a pretty big deal, like the biggest deal. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." And that's not the kind of opportunity that you give somebody that you don't value or think they have worth. I think that's a great indication that that God sees us with a lot of value and worth and entrusts us with things. All right, the next part is growth mindset, which is one of my biggest, most important things in life. This is based off a book called Mindset by Carol Dweck, and I would encourage you guys to read that if you have a chance. It's one of the most valuable things I've learned in life, and it has sections that apply to teaching, being an athlete, business, relationships, parenting. It's a great book with a lot to learn, a lot to be able to help share with other people. All right, so the idea of growth mindset, the main idea is that now there's a growth mindset or a fixed mindset, and the growth mindset means that you believe you can get better at something, whatever it is, whether it's sports or drawing or music or even just being smart, like learning. It's the idea that you can get better. So you welcome opportunities and challenges. You know that those are important to help you get better, and you believe whatever situation you're in, you can get better at what you're trying to get better at. Fixed mindset's the opposite, where you think you're either good or bad at something, and people usually avoid challenges, avoid difficult situations because they think if they fail, that would show they're not good at that. So they avoid those situations, which doesn't help them to grow. So it's great to choose growth mindset in everything in life. It's been a big thing for me in sports and in coaching, and I've grown and learned a lot through that. So my examples, sports is always growth mindset for me. From a young age, I played sports. I played baseball from when I was 5, and I saw myself get better at sports. So anytime I tried a new sport, I just believed I could get better at it because I'd seen that I could get better at those things. So that was always growth mindset for me. Something that was fixed mindset is drawing. I'm horrible at drawing. When we play Pictionary with my family or anytime I try to draw anything, it's just a mess. And I had a picture I was gonna try to show, but that didn't work out. So maybe I'll try to connect that somehow so you can see that. But it was at camp this past year. I just, in a funny way, tried to start drawing portraits of people that were there. And it was a mess. I think Frump was the first one that I did, and it was just terrible and very cartoony and not even like a human, really. So that was embarrassing. But I was just doing it for fun, and I kept doing it just for fun, and actually saw myself get better over the course of a night, and not much better, still terrible, but I did get a little bit better, it helped me to learn that you can get better at things, and it's not just like you're stuck as either good or bad at something, and who you are doesn't mean you're stuck in that. You can learn and grow, and I think God packed that into us to help us to keep life interesting and to allow us to keep developing throughout life. So, as far as it goes with us being Christians in Scripture, just because we made mistakes in life or made wrong choices in life, that doesn't mean that has to define us as who we are or that we're stuck that way. We have the ability and the opportunity, because of God's grace and mercy, to continue to develop and grow and become better in the things that he asks us to be better in. And Paul's a great example of this. He certainly made some wrong choices in life, but he didn't reject God's call just because of that. He didn't say, "I'm too bad, I can't do this." He listened to God and accepted that call, and he has helped us a lot because of that. He's given us a lot, and God's been able to do a lot through him. In connection with this, with the self-talk and how we see ourselves in our image, we can get better at things. So even if we know that we're not good at something right now, God has given us the ability and the opportunity to get better. All right, so being connected to Jesus, we are not just a better version of ourselves, but a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." And God working in us is a part of us growing. It's not just something we do ourselves. It's not just a task that we, a homework that we do and come back to him. It's something that he works through us, in us, which is a pretty cool thing to experience. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So this verse clearly shows that there is some hope for us. becoming better, because he died for us not just after we had sinned, but while we were still sinners. And he knew that we could, if we chose to, we could become better and become more of who he made us to be. Also, God shows us that we are taught and that we learn things that help us become more of who he made us to be. Ephesians 4:20 through 24 says, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to be put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." All right, so I know that sermons usually aren't too interactive, but as a volleyball coach, I'm very interactive. And after talking for this long straight, I feel like I should either have every one of you get a partner and a ball and start working on the thing that I've been talking about, or get a water break, which maybe you could use. I've got some water here if anybody needs some. But I don't have enough volleyballs, so we're not going to do that. Plus, you probably don't care about how to hit a float serve. But if you do care, you know, make sure it's out in front of you. Contact the back of the ball with a flat, strong hand, just if you're curious. So instead of that, I'll just ask a question. What are some ways that we learn about God and who he made us to be? What are some things that we can do in life to learn about how he made us and more about him? If anybody would like to share an idea. I know you're kind of far away. Yes, read the Bible. Great. Anything else? All right, interactive, I guess, is not great for sermons. Oh, do we have one? Yeah, what do we got? Praying, yeah, great. Those are perfect, those are on my list. I had reading the Bible, I have small groups, watching videos. I don't know if we still have the Right Now Media stuff, but there are plenty of videos on YouTube and all kinds of stuff that you can check out. Podcast sermons, I listen to those a lot when I'm driving. Tim Keller is my favorite, and he's brilliant. My dad and I both have learned a lot from him. And also conversations with smart people. So I've had plenty of those, being in a family with my dad and my grandma and my mom and my grandpa and my cousins and my uncles and aunts. And there are plenty of people in my family I've had great conversations with and had a chance to learn a lot through. And it's great to work through things like that and just to be able to share with each other and share our experiences and what we've learned. So let's choose to always be learning. Something I've done as a coach, and I try to keep doing as a follower of God as well, to always try to be learning more. All right, so to keep with the tradition of bad jokes and sermons, I looked up some volleyball jokes, and here's what I found. Number one, where is the first volleyball match mentioned in the Bible? When Joseph served in Pharaoh's court. All right, and number two, what does a religious volleyball player do? Serve God. Yeah, those are bad. I agree. I wanted to make sure you're comfortable as well. So reading and bad jokes. There you go. Now we're all comfortable. I do like that last joke for one reason. In volleyball, we talk about how when you're serving the ball, it's the one time that you get a chance to control the ball. Outside of that, in volleyball, you're bumping the ball, you're setting the ball, you're hitting the ball, you're not holding the ball. In serving, it's the one chance you can control the ball. And that joke talking about serving God, that's something we can control in life. And no matter what our situations are in life, no matter how much money we have or what our job is or what our previous experiences are, we can always choose to serve God, and we're in complete control of that. And I'm excited that we have that opportunity. And in this country, we have freedom, and also no matter where you're at, what's going on, you have a chance to do that. I remember a dean that I had in Mountain View Christian Camp, Rich Deakins, who one time at a campfire said, "Nobody can stop you from becoming the best follower of Jesus in the world." And that was big to me, because like I always had dreams and aspirations of becoming the best athlete in the world. And some of that's in my control, some of it's not. I can't get taller. I can't have more experience than I've had. Certain opportunities I can't control. But we can always control the way that we live for God and how we choose to serve him, which is a pretty cool thing. So that's the end of my footnote. I think that's how I'm supposed to do that. Do you indicate the footnote at the beginning? Intro the footnote? All right, I'll do that better next time. All right, third thing is procedural memory. And this is part of long-term memory that is responsible for us being able to do things without having to use our conscious thought. All right, I'm going to try to get interactive again, so we'll see how this goes. What are some examples of something in our procedural memory? So something that you at one point learned how to do that now you don't have to think about doing anymore. It just happens. Piano playing? Great. For some of us, yes. For some of us, still working on it. Any other thoughts? We got driving. Yeah, that's a good one. That's on my list too. So I've got walking and driving and riding a bike are three pretty good examples. when's the last time when you're walking that you thought about which foot you put in front and next? Like, that never happens, because you learn how to do it and then it just happens, which is good for us, because if we had to try to think about every single thing we're doing, it would be too much and overwhelming. So I think that's part of what God packed into us, so we can do more things at once. All right, so procedural memory is huge in sports, and here's an example of it. I have a video which will be shown on YouTube and Facebook. Unfortunately not for you guys, because I didn't prepare this early enough and well enough, so sorry about that, but I'll describe it. It's a clip from me playing volleyball at the beach in a tournament with CJ Denk, who's one of my role models in coaching and in playing. I've learned a lot from him. So in this video, we're playing in a tournament in playoffs, and I run down a ball, pass the ball, or dig the ball. He sets me, and I hit a cut shot and score into the corner. And after that, he throws his hat at me in excitement, which he does sometimes. And that's when I know I did something well, when he throws his hat at me and screams at me and shoves me and stuff like that. So he did that in this video. And if you want, you can look at the YouTube video after and see that. So CJ has invested a lot in me in life and helped me to become the player and the coach that I am today. And the things that I do in that video, the dig and the read and the cut shot, are all things that I could not do a while ago. And I worked really hard, and he helped me work hard to get better at those things. And now it's just something that happens. I don't think about it when I'm playing, it just happens. In the same way, in that video, which again, I'm sorry you can't see it, but I want God to throw his hat at me in excitement after I'm done here. I want to be continuing to learn and develop the best I can in life, so that he'll be excited about what turns out, what I become from that. So I'm going to keep learning and growing, and I would encourage you guys to join me in that. Some things God asks of us can seem difficult and require an intentional choice to do them each time until it becomes more automatic for us. This includes the kind of person he asks us to be, and also the spiritual disciplines, like prayer and studying the Bible. But by choosing to do the right things more and more, it can become something that's more automatic for us. An example of this is a guy that is one of my favorite people in life, Mike Bowers. He's in Clarence, and he is a minister at the church there. And I've done mission trips with him, I've done camp with him, I've done a lot of life with him, and one thing that I love about him is he has scripture in his mind for any situation. And I've seen it especially in mission trips and at camp, but in all situations in life, he'll just have a scripture that comes out that applies to the situation. And that's not just something that is just natural or automatic, that's something that he had to work at, he had to study and learn, and those things now just come out of him because of that. So I'm trying to be more like that in life as well. All right, here are some things that God tells us about growing and training ourselves. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." An example of this for me is exercising through this COVID time. The first 7 to 10 days of COVID, I spent, I think, entirely in bed, just confused and sad, and didn't feel great, and decided that I needed to start working out again, even though I couldn't go to a gym or do things like normal. I had to try to find a way to stay exercising and stay healthy. So I chose at the beginning just to do it every day, even though it was hard and painful and uncomfortable and unusual. I chose to do it. And then it eventually became just a part of every day, like normal, like eating and showering. It just became something that I just did without even thinking about it. And I've kept track of that. I've gone 127 straight days of working out since that started, which I'm not saying that to brag or say anything, but just to show you that it became something natural for me, that I had to work it at the beginning. It wasn't easy, it wasn't great. But once I started doing it more and more, then it just became something that was just a part of who I am, and something that was automatic in me. And I want to do the same as it comes to learning scripture, praying, all these kinds of things. So I'd encourage you to pick something and choose to do it every day. Something that will help you become more of who God made you to be. Not as a New Year's resolution, like, it's a new year, I'm going to do this, but as a choice and a commitment to become more of who God made you to be, because he's always asking us to do that, and we can do that anytime. We don't have to wait for January 1st to do that. All right, so we need to be mindful of the choices we make in life, because if we aren't intentional, we will develop habits and procedural memory and things that we don't want. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." An example of this happened just over there on that street. I remember when I was younger and driving home from maybe youth group or something, and I was chewing gum, and I didn't want it anymore, and I didn't have anything to put it in, and I thought about, could I throw it out the window, and is that okay? I don't know if that's littering, or if gum is like biodegradable, or how that works. I don't know. But I remember in that moment, I was thinking, is this a wrong thing to do or not? And I wasn't really sure, but I just decided to do it, and I threw it out the window. And then I remember a few days later, same situation. I was leaving church again and chewing gum, and I guess that was my thing, go to church and chew gum. And same thing, I thought, I wonder if this is okay or not. I wonder if this is bad or littering. And I was like, oh, whatever, I'm just gonna do it. Then I remember a few weeks later, same situation, leaving and throwing gum out the window without thinking about it. And then I realized in that moment that it just became, from a couple intentional choices, it became something I just started doing. And again, I'm not sure if that's wrong or not, so I hope it's not wrong because I'm announcing this to the world. But I don't do it anymore, so we don't have to worry about that. But just to let you know that choices and habits happen fast. When you make choices, they turn into habits quickly. And it's important to make sure that our choices are leading towards good habits and good things that'll help us to become more of who God made us to be than to not. So make sure you have a gum wrapper with you at all times. All right, so every sermon should have a C.S. Lewis quote, which makes me wonder if Jesus was tempted to throw in one in the Sermon on the Mount. I wonder if he thought of like throwing in a future C.S. Lewis quote, which probably would have been confusing to C.S. Lewis when he read the Bible as a kid. But anyway, here's a quote. Every time you make a choice, you are turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different than it was before. And taking your life as a whole, with all your innumerable choices, all your life long, you are slowly turning the central thing into a heavenly creature or a hellish creature, either into a creature that is in harmony with God and with other creatures and with itself, or else into one that is in a state of war and hatred with God and with its fellow creatures and with itself. To be the one kind of creature is heaven, that is, it is joy and peace and knowledge and power. To be the other means madness, horror, idiocy, rage, and eternal loneliness. Each of us at each moment is progressing to the one state or the other. C.S. Lewis. This is similar to a volleyball play. At the end of every volleyball play, somebody gets a point. So you're either plus 1 point or you're minus 1 point. There's no staying the same at the end of a point, or at the end of a rally. It's different in different sports, but in a volleyball play, as soon as it starts, you're gonna either be up 1 point or down 1 point after it's done. And it's the same idea here, is that every choice we make, we're going to be more of who God made us to be or less. There's no neutral. So every time I think of or hear this quote, I'm convicted to be even more intentional about my choices, just like I was talking about with that gum situation. Some choices can seem insignificant, but each choice draws us closer to him or further from him. So let's find ways to draw closer to him in the big situations and choices and even in the little ones. So we don't just need to focus on our actions, but also our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Controlling thoughts can seem difficult or even impossible. A lot of times it feels like thoughts just happen in our heads. But here's an example of controlling thoughts that I've done, and it's called mental reframing. I'm not sure if I came up with this term or if it's an actual term, but this is what I came to when I was learning about this idea. And I'm sure you all know about it, but it's the idea of taking a situation that seems to be bad or negative and finding a way to either find a positive in it or create a positive from it. And this is something that I think is really important in life and something that I've helped my athletes learn as well. Because in volleyball, if you make a mistake, that doesn't help you unless you do something with it after or find something in it that you learned. We talk about mindful reps, meaning that when you make a play, whether it goes well or not, you think about what happened and that helps you for the next one. So that's much more automatic for me. I started to choose to do this. In every situation, I thought, okay, that didn't feel good. That wasn't a good situation, or I regret that decision, but how can I either find something good that came from this, something I can learn from it, or how can I take the situation and turn it into something positive? That's something I intentionally chose for a while, and now it's something that happens more naturally, which is great. I remember just yesterday, but now I can't think of the situation. But there was something yesterday where it just happened, and I was like, oh, this is not great. How can I make this good? How can I turn this into good? And God does that for us, too. God turns bad situations, tough situations, bad choices. He can make good out of those things. Not meaning that it's okay for us to make those bad choices, but that once they're done, God can help us find a way to make something good out of them. So the goal of procedural memory in volleyball is that we train ourselves so that we just let the skill happen. And if we train ourselves to live like God asks us to, then we can just let it happen in our lives. 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8 says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So making better choices and having better thoughts is beneficial and honoring to God, but it's even bigger than that. It's about transforming our heart. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We need to transform our heart to be good and to align with who God made us to be. An example, I'm not tempted to hurt somebody in anger right now. I think I remember moments of that when I was a kid, like if I didn't get what I want or somebody took a toy of mine and I was like, oh, I want to hurt them. But that's not a thought in my head anymore. That's not something that happens to me anymore. I don't have that thought. I can't even think about doing that. And I think that's part of my heart being transformed in that way. And I've learned stuff through scripture and through my dad and through others that have helped me to not have that be a thought in my head and to have my heart transformed in that way. So I'm working to keep getting to a place where I'm not tempted to do more things like that that would dishonor God, and get to a place where my heart just makes good choices and makes choices that honor God. So my dad asked yesterday about how I was feeling about preaching today, and I said it's very similar to what I do while I'm coaching. I've coached many teams and groups of players of all ages and skill levels, and when I coach a group of volleyball players, I often talk with the whole group about a certain skill or technique and then explain what we're looking for, and I usually finish by saying, okay, now let's go get better. So to become a better volleyball player, choose positive self-talk for confidence, train and compete with growth mindset to improve, and invest time to develop procedural memory in your skills. And to become more of who God made us to be, choose to understand and believe that God created us with value, choose to understand and believe that we are able to become more of who God made us to be, and choose to establish new godly habits and consistently make godly choices as we let God transform our hearts. I appreciate y'all taking the time to listen to me share what I've learned. Now let's go get better.